Woo-hoo. All right. I'm going to just pray again. Father, I just thank you for how loud my mic is right now. I just thank you, Yeshua, that you have brought us together again on a Sabbath, and how you restore us, and you take us through weeks. You take us through a week at a time, 7 days, a time of completion, and the things that you teach us through that time, and how you graduate us, Father. Yeshua, you are so faithful to all these things that when we can't do it, you do it for us because we're committed to you. So, Abba, I just look to you to complete the work in us that we can't do ourselves. So we thank you, Yeshua, and I thank you again for your Holy Spirit that you fill us here today and you give us understanding. You remove any confusion, Father. You just make clear the things that you want us to learn and to walk away with, Yeshua. In your name, Yahweh. Amen. Please sit. Thank you. Yeah. So my sermon title today is What About Bob? Anybody remember that movie? Yeah. Baby Steps. Oh, yeah, Baby Steps. Shoot, I could have put that in my sermon. Okay, probably work it in now. What is Bob? Bob, in my opinion, the way that and I'm hoping this, you know, sticks with you today, but what Bob is refers to the remnant. He's the one that stands out. He's different. It's the one right there in the yellow coat. No. But it is. It's the one that's just different from everyone else that responds maybe differently to something than what the typical response would be. But we should be like Bob. We're that remnant that should respond differently to things, to stimuli. So that's what I want you to keep that in mind as we go about. So from our portion today, this scripture really stood out to me. It said, I shall dwell in the midst of the children of Israel and shall be their Elohim. And they shall know that I am Yahweh, their Elohim, who brought them up out of the land of Mitzrayim to dwell in their midst. I am Yahweh, their Elohim. That's such a cool thing. That's Yahweh's heart, too, is that he would dwell in the midst of us. But how does he dwell among us? He's always wanted to establish his dwelling with and among his people. Paul says, for you are the temple of the living God. As Yahweh has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So if we are the temple, and his presence is within his temple, then he has provided us with the access to approach him, right? And the access is Yeshua. And we've actually talked about a lot of these scriptures, but the last time I taught, Ephesians 2:18 talks about access. Hebrews 10:19, we enter the holy place by Yeshua. John 10:9, I am the door. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. These are all areas of access. But did they have this access back in the Old Testament? Yeshua hadn't come to earth yet, right? So how did they access his presence? Or did he come to earth? Was he already there? So just like Pastor Curtis just said, hopefully we can stretch our minds. I mean, we talk about this all the time. The kingdom of heaven is near. It's in our very midst. Karva means within our reach. Okay, if we talk about that these things are happening now, then, and we talk about that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and Yeshua is the same, then it shouldn't be too big of a stretch to think that that's Yeshua in the Old Testament, is it? So from this scripture, so this is a little bit of a jump, but this is from our portion as well. So they're told to make holy garments for your brother Aaron, for splendor and for beauty. You're to speak to all who are skilled, whom I have filled with a spirit of artistry, to make Aaron's garments for consecrating, that means setting apart, so that he may minister to me as a Kohen, a priest. Isn't that incredible? It says that they were filled with the spirit of artistry. They were filled with the spirit. Let me go back. You're to speak to all who are skilled, whom I am filled with the spirit of artistry. And in a lot of versions, it says the spirit of wisdom. But the point is, they're filled with the spirit that comes from Yahweh. Isaiah 11 talks about these same spirits. Then a shoot will come forth out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch will bear fruit out of his roots. Who is this talking about? This is Yeshua. the Ruach, the Spirit of Yahweh, will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and insight, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of Yahweh. These are, all of these encompass who Yeshua is. This is who he is. These seven spirits are talked about throughout the scriptures. They're in Revelation. There's another place in Isaiah that talks about him. They're referred to throughout the Torah as well. But the Spirit of Yahweh will rest upon Yahweh, will rest upon Yeshua, really. And encompassing in those are his Spirit of wisdom. So if back in the Torah they were filled with his Spirit of wisdom, would it be fair to say they were filled with Yeshua? Because the Spirit of wisdom is not separate from Yeshua. It's just one of the aspects. It's kind of like the fruits of the Spirit. It's evidence of who you belong to, of who you're filled with. And if we know that God is one, hear, O Israel, Yahweh our God, Yahweh is one, we know that Yeshua is Yahweh, right? And Yeshua is in the Old Testament. That is him. First Peter talks about the Spirit too. This was one of the first times I remember reading through the Bible, and actually we were talking about, well, did they have the Spirit in the Old Testament? Because that's often a thing, like, the Spirit was poured out in Acts 2, but before that they didn't have the Spirit. But that's not right. These trials are so that the true metal of your faith, far more valuable than gold, which perishes though refined by fire, may come to light in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Messiah Yeshua. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you don't see him now, you trust him and are filled with a joy that is glorious beyond words, receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The prophets who spoke about, okay, wait, the salvation of your souls, what does Yeshua's name mean? It means salvation. It means deliverance. Some scriptures say deliverance. So it's receiving the Yeshua of your souls. The prophets who spoke about the grace that was to be yours searched for this salvation and investigated carefully. They were trying to find out the time and circumstances the Ruach, or the Spirit of Messiah within them, was indicating when predicting the sufferings in store for Messiah and the glories to follow. They were filled with the Spirit. They understood it. To be filled with the Spirit, I actually am saying, I think it's to be filled with Yeshua. He is. So why were they filled with his Spirit? Why were there some, only a small amount, that were allowed to do this? Were these people just lucky? Was it because of their own merit? I say it's how they responded. And our response is always up to us. I say it's how Yahweh approaches us with things and how we respond. You know, Abraham believed and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was a priest. He was a priest to his family. It says he commanded his family and an army of 300 men and their houses. He was someone who knew how to respond. He responded and believed. When God said, "You are my child," he said, "Okay." And you know what? His faith was his salvation, just like we have that same covenant of Abraham. So our response is up to us and how we believe. And God says who we are. Remember when we talked about the Israelites approaching the mountain in Exodus 19? Remember how Exodus 19:6, Yahweh also calls all the Israelites priests. But remember in Exodus 19, he says, 19:6, he says, "You are all a nation of priests to me," which is crazy because he has never said anything about that to that point, at least that I could find. If I'm wrong, let me know. I'm sure you will. But I'm just kidding. So it says in 19:6, "And you shall be to me a reign of priests and a set apart nation." Those are the words which you are to speak to the children of Israel. I keep thinking that was plan double A, because we had that was plan A. And then there's a plan B, and then there's a plan C that happens later on with the golden calf and everything. But plan A is you all are priests. But not all responded as priests, right? Not all approached the mountain. But I do believe that they were supposed to approach the mountain. I think they were supposed to die. And I mean in a again, stretch out your mind. I mean in that spiritual sense that they were to die to themselves just as we are to die. We are to approach that mountain knowing that everything, that we are willing to give up everything in our lives, to know that everything that we hold on to, that we control, that we find value in, that we think is what holds us together, is that we're willing to say, okay, Lord, but what do you have for me? What do you want? That to me is what it means to approach the mountain. And that's where some of these people, even though they just came out of slavery, they came out of a life being beaten down, knowing, you know, struggling with various things. If we relate that to today, it's, you know, we've come out of lives of addictions, you know, various kinds, all kinds, addicted to entertainment, drugs, alcohol, you know, whatever it is. We come out of these areas, and even just the addiction of not thinking we're good enough, not thinking that we can do anything, you know, even just to have self-control over certain things. You know, to not eat that Tim Tam cookie that's sitting in front of me. Sorry, that was not pointed at you. Archie just got introduced to Tim Tams and he likes them. But they are good. Yeah, they're delicious. Anyway, yeah, you don't want to know. But are we able to even see that we can do all things through Yeshua who strengthens us? We often look at the things that we are accustomed to walking in the patterns and just think that's not an area we can overcome. We can deal with this, but this thing, again, I've talked about this many times, but this thing that I've had hanging on my leg my whole life, I just don't even look at it anymore. It's just become a part of me. It's too hard to face this baggage, so I just move forward, and maybe when I'm dead, when I go to heaven, God will remove it from me. But if he says that his kingdom of heaven is here on earth and he wants us to live abundant life, he wants us to look back at that baggage and even deal with that. That really hard, scary thing that's back there hanging on to us that we're accustomed to, we're comfortable with because it's been a part of us our whole lives. Even that he wants us to look at and say, okay, I'm ready. I'm going to plunge into that. That's what the mountain represents. That's what the darkness represents. Remember when I said that Yahweh is in the darkness too? In this portion, Tetzaveh, you shall command, what's the first thing that God tells them that he commands them with? You are to command B'nai Israel, the children of Israel, that they are to bring to you pure olive oil, beaten for the light, to cause a lamp to burn continually. How did they get olive oil? It's pressed, and it's pressed cold. So it's taken from the highest, this is what I heard this morning, actually. It's taken from the olives that are at the highest point, and then they are cold pressed and crushed to get the pure, and then they're refined even further to get the purest oil. But if that's what we are commanded as the children of Israel, we're commanded to be crushed. We are commanded to be willing to be crushed and pressed. And are we willing to let him do that? Because we have all kinds of escapes. We have easy ways out. We do. But I think, and that's what God showed me this week, because this has been a rough week for us, how hard it is sometimes to look at that scary place. How hard it is, how much easier it is to just zone out over here. But you know, when you have made covenant with Yahweh and you've made a commitment to walk with him, he turns you toward it anyway, and he carries you through it instead. He says, you can't do it, I'm going to carry you through it. I'm going to show you how to do it. I'm going to be in that darkness. And then you know, when you're in a dark storm or you're just even in the darkness, that dark, dark place where you can't see the next step, it's hard to know where he's taking you. It's hard to even trust that he's got you, right? Because you can't see where you're headed. But you do know, because we should know, because of who he is in us and the faithfulness of the Father, that he has us and that he's doing it for a good cause. That when we're in that dark place and we don't know, we can just say, Yahweh, I know you though, and I trust you. So we are commanded to be crushed. We are commanded to be pressed. And that's a hard thing too, but it's an okay thing because we know that God's doing it. every time, and this is the hope that we cling to, every time God takes us through something really hard, every time we are beaten down and we feel like it's hopeless, it's always because he's taking us to a graduation. It's always because he's taking us to something great and new. And it's hopeful. We should be filled with hope. Even though our emotions dictate us a lot of times and it feels hard, we should just know and tell ourselves it's for a good thing. It's for a new life. It's that transition right before the baby comes out. That's the hardest time. It's the scariest time. And you think, I actually had a panic thought like, oh my God, what if this baby never comes out? I think that's probably common to a lot of women in childbirth. You start to think, oh Lord. Yeah, well, all reason kind of goes out your head at that moment. It's just pain. And they were to make, so going back, they were to make holy garments for your brother Aaron, for splendor and for beauty. What a beautiful thing. Who was Aaron? What was his role? He was the high priest. So how amazing that the people were to make a garment for the high priest. That not only was a garment that he would wear, but it would bring splendor. It would bring beauty. Some translations say it would bring esteem. It would have brought honor to the high priest. So if we are the spirit-filled people of Yahweh, we have that same opportunity by how we live our lives to cover the high priest, to bring honor and glory to him in how we walk. Are we willing to be that pressed olive that is beautiful, that brings out delicious, you know, pure olive oil? And there's a difference. If you've ever tried regular olive oil and extra virgin olive oil, there's no comparison. There's such a rich flavor with extra virgin. So he wants us to be that beautiful extra virgin. You are to speak to all who are skilled, whom I have filled with a spirit of artistry, to make Aaron's garments, for consecrating him, so that he may minister to me as a Kohen. I also think that's interesting. If Aaron is the high priest and he's a picture of Yeshua, and yet we're to make garments for him to set him apart, isn't that incredible? How many Christians have you known in your life that you go, oh gosh, they just give Christianity a bad name? They did not set Yeshua apart, did they? But we have that opportunity in how we live our lives on a daily basis to set him apart. And so that he can minister to the Father. Isn't that a weird thought? That we enable him to minister. I think that we enable him to be to intercede for us at times too. Just like Moses did. Moses didn't intercede for the ones that weren't a part of Israel. He interceded for the body. He interceded for those that were a part of God's tribe, but they maybe walked off the path. That's who Yeshua is. He's that access. He's the one who intercedes for us. Are you with me? Okay, we're not confused? Nope, because we prayed against it. That's right. So Yahweh's spirit-filled people, those that had Yeshua in them, could make a covering that would actually be fit for the high priest. That's a takeaway for today. That should fill you with the highest honor to know that you represent the living God, the King of the universe, by your actions, by your words, by your responses to things in this world, by not having a fear-filled response, by not having a flesh-filled response a lot of times when we want to say things or react in our flesh. That should fill us with a fear, too, of who we represent and who we honor with our words. And I'm speaking to myself. So, I just realized. Okay, it didn't show up for you. The identity was given to all of Israel, but not all responded like Bob. Okay, so the identity, just like Abraham, it was credited to him as righteousness. The identity of priests was given to all Israel, but only the remnant, there were only a handful that really understood and responded that way, like Bob. I wonder what the Hebrew equivalent would be of that word. We can also think of it as band of brothers. There you go. So the commands, the commands were given to all of Israel too, but not all responded like Bob, right? The commands to make pressed olives, to make pressed oil, right? That was one of the commands. The command to make the priestly garments, and we're going to go on in the next several portions. There's going to be further commands of what they are to do to bring, to build the tabernacle. It takes God's people to come together to build this tabernacle here, right? The same thing, you know what, something that hit me today, and you may not like it, but I was thinking, we're waiting on these building permits out here. I think we need to start contributing toward that new building. We need to, maybe it's monetary, I don't know, but I'm asking that you guys would pray and just say, Lord, what do we need to bring to build on? Because it might just be things that go inside the new building, and it might just be that God puts it on your heart to contribute in a money, in a monetary way. But I think that there's something in that. It's seeding in, and it's saying, "These are the. This is how I'm going to respond. I believe what you're doing here, and I'm going to respond by putting my feet forward into that, by walking into that." Yeah. Well, that's part of it. There is a spiritual battle. I believe that's true. That's holding everything up. It's the same thing. I mean, maybe our permits are, you know, in the Long Beach Harbor right now. I don't know, but we're told they're being held up here locally. So we did talk about the darkness, and I mentioned the darkness is scary. We're unsure of what we will encounter there, how we will feel, and what we will lose. And I think so many times when we don't want to press in, it's usually driven by fear. Probably 99% of the time it's driven by fear. I mean, just not wanting to feel uncomfortable sometimes, you know? Or are we going to lose relationship or lose friendships or whatever it is? Can you picture that area in your life that you would say is a dark area you don't want to look at? Like, I'm asking you. Is that something you can relate to? Because I have some that are very scary, and I don't want to even talk about it. I don't want to think about it. But, you know, the cool thing, too, is that when it's time, God takes you through it, too, and he buffers you. It's not the same as going through a tragedy without God. But even the tragic things that we have to go through, we do it with God. It is such a difference to have our King holding our hand along the way. So it's a step of faith that we make based on believing who we are in Yahweh. You guys remember this poem, the Footprints poem? When I was a little kid, my parents have a plaque, that's right. I just remember reading that. I was probably like 8 or 9 years old, and I think I even cried. Like, it just penetrated my heart, and it stuck with me all these years, just to know that this is who our God really is. And I know it's not from the Bible, but I think it sure was inspired by someone who knew the Lord. One night I dreamed a dream. I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed 2 sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. When the last scene of my life shot before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. There was only 1 set of footprints. I realized that this was at the lowest and saddest times of my life. This always bothered me, and I questioned the Lord about my dilemma. Lord, you told me when I decided to follow you, you would walk and talk with me all the way. But I'm aware that during the most troublesome times of my life, there's only 1 set of footprints. I just don't understand why. When I need you most, you leave me. Do you ever feel like that? Yeah. Yeah, I have. I feel like that baggage thing that I've had with me for the past few years that I've not been able to overcome, I feel like that's an area where I'm like, Lord, I don't feel like you hear me in that area. But you know, that's not the truth. That's how it feels to me. But I decided 2 weeks ago, I declared battle on that area. Oh. And he's been taking me through it. But I want to graduate. I want that next season. I want that next promotion. I want it. and I'm willing to go through the battle to get to it. Do you guys want that? Do you want that graduation? Do you want to not keep battling with the same baggage, that ball and chain? Then you declare it. You say, I'm ready. Lord, I want to walk in this victory. I'm ready to face the scary because I trust you. Amen. That's right. Say it now. I'm ready. I want to walk in it. I want to face it. I declare victory in this area because God has already won it. He is that victor. He has won it. So the next part, so the parts when we feel like we're alone, he said, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you, never, ever, during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. That was a miracle. I read that without weeping. But that's where I realized that, so when you face that scary thing and you walk in it and you think, oh, I don't know, crud, what am I doing? I'm like, where are all these emotions coming from suddenly? And you feel like you're in a swirling storm and you don't know that he's there. He says, yeah, I'm carrying you. That's that go up to the mountain. Be willing to touch, to go to that mountain. The mountain's where the instruction comes, but the mountain is where you die to yourself. And it's where God carries you when you can't do it yourself. Because there's many trials, there's many things like this that we can't do by ourselves. The other part about that darkness is that word that we looked up in Hebrew a few weeks ago was also cloud. So we also have, we're not alone because we have a great cloud of witnesses too that went before us in these things. Look at those people. Start, you know, study the lives of people that have lived hard lives but overcome, because they're a witness to us. They're the ones that when things got hard, they didn't cut bait. They pressed through. That's something in our lives here, and I think that as we become more seasoned in walking with Yahweh, you start to realize that when things are hard, that some people, that's when they leave. That's when they say it's too much and they leave. But there's usually an external reason that they will throw out there. But usually it's because Yahweh's trying to bring them to a place of promotion and we don't recognize it. We perish for lack of knowledge. But, you know, the thing that's different now, and Jerry and I were just talking about this. He said, you know, a lot of times in my life, I could look back and go, oh, that was God's hand on my life. You know, hindsight's 20/20. He could say that was God's stamp. But he said, there's some times now, and I won't go into the detail of it, but he said, where I'm seeing God put his hand on it before I walk in it. And I said, that's Torah. Because Torah gives us direction. It gives us boundaries. It gives us seasons. It helps us understand. Because what is 1 week? It's a series of completion. And then there's Shabbat. And so there's a demarcation. And then there's another Shabbat and another one. And then we count, and then we get up to Passover. And we count a few more, and we get to Shavuot, and first fruits in Shavuot. So we have these seasons, and they all stand, and they mean something. So they help us to navigate, too. So we, even though we might be in that dark cloud and not knowing, we have witnesses, and we also have our seasons of guidance in Torah, too. And the most important thing is that Yahweh says he's in the darkness and he's the one carrying us. So I was going to say, I started reading a book. Andrea's reading it as well. And she's told me a little bit about it. And we actually had bought it a few years ago, but it's Viktor Frankl's book. Oh my gosh, Man's Search for Meaning? Right, okay. I don't know. I just think we should all read it. Because this is a man that, if you can imagine going through and losing everything, this man did. But yet he walked victoriously through it. And, you know, whether he was someone who, I mean, he had an understanding of God. I'm not that far through it. Andrea's read a lot more. She can tell you, I'm sure. But this man had an understanding of God and how God, and who, why God created him, what his purpose for creation was. You know, in one of the scenes he described, which I thought was interesting, to me, this is that darkness too, is that when they were stripped down, when they first arrived at Auschwitz and they were stripped down, You know, some people held on to their last remnants of whatever, you know, sewn into their pockets, and, you know, and then when those very last things were taken from them, some people just broke and they were done. They were done. They had nothing left. Even some, it was like their, maybe it was their jewelry, or some people it was their occupation. You know, it tied them to what they were, their former occupation, their identity and what they did. And then when that last bit was stripped, some people just completely were broken, where they lost their wills to live. Are we like that? Are we so caught up in our value being in the things around us and the people in our lives that if we were stripped of everything, we don't have any more hope? Because that's that dark place that where God meets you and he says, I'm your hope. I'm your hope in all of it. And I don't mean to be depressing, but I hope that we would know that if there was nothing else left around us, there's always him. And I know that sometimes we have felt that way, but just know that he is there. He's in that darkness. He's that dark place, naked before him, hair, you know, their heads shaved. It's still, God was there. And even through his experience, he talks about beauty. He talks about times where they were starving and exhausted, yet they ran outside to see a beautiful sunset and just wept and said, wow, how beautiful, you know, how beautiful it could be. And even in those times, they found humor in things too. One of the stories that I thought was pretty awesome was when he talked about, he talked to a guy who, so when they were at their work camp, there was always these, you know, these guards that would come in and say, oh, do you remember what it was, the phrase, Andrea? He was like, hurry up, hurry up. But it was always like, action, action, action. That's what it was, I think. And this guy was a surgeon back in his old life. And so they joked about, well, when you get out and you're operating on someone, he goes, you might have an orderly come in and go, action, action, action. And just, it was just things like that, that they purposed themselves. We have to purpose ourselves to get through hard things. You know, we have to declare that there will be life again in this area. These dry bones will live. They can live. That's on us to purpose these things in our words, to find the beauty in the ashes. That's why he survived. He found beauty in the ashes. And I think it's really cool that my dad had the same. So in Exodus 25, there's two verses that talk about the pattern. It's verse 9 and also verse 40. See that you make them according to their pattern being shown to you on the mountain. I absolutely believe that that temple in Ezekiel is the same pattern right here. It's the pattern that Moses was shown. Because Yahweh is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't just do this whole revamping of everything when he trained them. This was direct instruction to his people and how to approach the presence of the living God. He didn't just change it up and go, ooh, never mind, you know. He's like, this is the pattern you were given. This is the pattern we are given. We're walking in it. When we come to Shabbat, we're walking in a pattern. You know, I missed a Shabbat last week, and I was supposed to end up at Beit Tehila, but parkour, it didn't happen. It's okay. And then I had to explain to everybody there what parkour was, too. And if you don't know, just Google it. But anyway, coming back, I just felt so out of the loop. I was like, what day is it? What, you know, not keeping Sabbath the same way. You know, I mean, I still honored Sabbath, but it was just, it throws us off. Because this is our patterns that God wants us to walk in. And you know the cool thing, too, is when you walk in a new pattern, you can start displacing the old patterns, the bad patterns. That's how you get rid of old patterns, actually. You walk in new patterns. So if you are accustomed to doing what you want and what feels good to you on Sabbath, then a new pattern is, you know what? I'm going to come together. I'm going to help contribute toward the tabernacle. So that was how they did. That's how they built it. We don't build it if we don't come together. So it goes back to it, and that's the same today. And the other thing that really, so if you want to see that Yeshua is in the old and the new and it's all the same, look at Ephesians 6. This is the same garments that the high priest wore. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you're able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the powers, the worldly forces of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you are able to resist when the times are evil. And after you have done everything, stand firm. Stand firm. Here, let's stand up. Let's stand firm. I know some people even do this, but I'm not going to have us do such a cheesy thing. Buckle the belt of truth around your waist. But I actually want you to picture the high priest. So he put that sash around his waist, right? And the breastplate of righteousness, that is right ruling. That should be on our hearts, right? And then that shoulder garment, that the Urim and the Thummim, those are the two witnesses. That's spirit and truth. That's so we understand how to rightly rule. That's a guidance for us. But that breastplate, it's a righteousness. Strap your feet in readiness with the good news of shalom. Are we ready in season and out? Are we ready to say something always encouraging and uplifting to someone? Or is it critical? Because that's not the readiness of the good news of shalom. And above all, take up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation. What was written on the zit? It's called the zitzits on the head. Kadosh. Set apart to God. And actually in the scriptures version, it says set apartness to God. It's cool because it's a state of being. It's describing that person wearing it, actually. Not just a noun, it's actually an adjective. It's describing who that person is. They are set apartness to God. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. To me, that sword of the Spirit, yeah, we talk about it being the Bible, but gosh, that could be the Urim and the Thummim too, because it divides. It rightly divides between spirit and truth, or it helps us to understand. It uses spirit and truth. And pray in the Spirit on every occasion with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, keep alert with perseverance and supplication for all the holy people. So how do we pray in the Spirit? I asked someone that this week because I'm like, well, I pray all the time. But what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? And I think that's when we say, Lord, that's deep calls to deep. That's asking the Lord, You have the words for what's in my deepest gut that I don't even know how to express. And I just say, Lord, help me pray in the Spirit. Are you Spirit-filled in here? Yes. I hope so. Are you immersed in it? Because that to me is then ask the Lord to be immersed. That's how we have access to Him. That's how we can approach the mountain, as if we are Spirit-filled. And when we can't do it, He does it for us, as long as you're committed. As long as you're willing to put your hand to that plow and not look back. So pray for me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the good news. Amen. For which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may speak boldly the way I should. Okay, I'm not sure why I included all of these. Shalom to the brothers and sisters trusting in Messiah Yeshua. Amen. With undying love. I think that's the end of mine. It is. So I just want us to just ask the Lord to help us to be willing to walk in these things, you know, to help us to be willing. He's willing. He's like, yeah, do it. But that we're willing, that we want to do it. So I'm just going to pray for us right now, okay? And just agree with me as I pray for your lives. Father, I just thank you for equipping us. You have always equipped us for what you've called us to. So, Father, if you have called us a nation of priests, then you are equipping us as priests. So be it. I thank you that we are willing to face the scary areas of our lives, Yahweh, because we're not doing it alone. So, Abba, we ask you right now to have that courage to face this area, the desire to face these areas, and the strength to walk in them. And when it gets hard, Father, to know that you are carrying us, to remember the footprints in the sand, to know that you're carrying us through that whirlwind and that you will take us through to the other side, that you don't start something in us that you don't finish. And Abba, not just completion, but you bring us to a graduation. So we're going to just thank you right now for that promotion. Abba, we just thank you and we lift up our voices to you in praise right now. Abba, thank you. Thank you, Father. Everybody lift up your voices to him and just thank him. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you for the victory. Thank you for being greater than anything that we see with our eyes. I just thank you for breaking your body for us because you gave us access to your spirit, to your presence. I just thank you for this beautiful kahal, the beautiful people that you put in this kahal that love you. I thank you for my band of brothers here, Father. I pray that we are, Bob, we are that remnant that walks according to your spirit, that we respond with the right ruling in our lives, that we respond to your call and know that we are your children, we are your priests, and we're willing to be those crushed olives that bring pure olive oil. We love you. May we be a pleasing aroma to you today. And we just thank you, Yeshua, for everything you've done here and completed, the work that you are completing in us in advance. We thank you. Amen.